Good afternoon, Denver, or wherever you might be listening to our program this week from. I want to thank you and for joining me, and let's get right into the continuation of your all-access pass key to understanding the scriptures that we started last week, and I told you that I would finish it up this week. And let's do a brief overview of what we talked about last week. You know, the all-access pass key is a covenant, and understanding covenant is that one key that will unlock every one of the scriptures throughout the Bible for you and begin to open it up in a whole new light as you've never seen before. So allow me to give you some a brief overview of what we talked about last week, and then I'll finish up this series this week. Last week we talked about that I call it, there are three dimensions of covenant. And what I mean by three dimensions is there are actually three aspects or three different types of covenant agreements. And those covenant agreements are, the first dimension is man with man, where kings or individuals would agree with one another to do a specific thing or provide a specific service, such as like your cell phone bill I gave you, or your cell phone provider with your cell phone, you know, how many times a particular phone will only be sold by a particular service provider. And so we gave that example as man with man, you know, because businesses are basically treated as individuals, and that's why we can put that into that concept. And then we have the mortgage on your house is another example of this first dimension of covenant agreements, man with man. And then we went into the second agreement, second dimension of covenant agreements, where it's man with God. And those type of covenant agreements are not God originated, they're man originated. And we gave the scripture reference out of Proverbs chapter, let me see here real quick, I don't remember it right off the top of my head, it's Proverbs chapter 20 verse 25 that tells us that it's a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards to reconsider his vow. And we learned that a vow is a covenant agreement. And we shared with you one tragic story of a vow in the book of Judges, chapter 12, verses 29 through 35, where a man vowed something and it turned out to be his daughter. And that's not what exactly he had in mind, but he had made the vow. So let me continue along that lines with rashly made vows. Now, I said last week that I don't believe that God would have struck him down had he not lived up to offering up his daughter as a burnt offering, because she had come out of the house to greet him based on a vow that he made on the battlefield. But at the same time, when we make vows, we'll see there's an example of a rashly given vow, and the consequences were very serious. And that's the story of Ananias and Sapphira, where the whole, you can find this story in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and through Acts chapter 5, verse 10. You can read that story for yourself, but basically the congregation had made an agreement with themselves, among themselves, with the Holy Spirit, as the witness, if you will, to the vow that all things were going to be put together in a community fund of the congregation, and then would be divided amongst the people that had needs within the congregation. You know, and if they'd sold lands, they agreed among themselves with the Holy Spirit as a witness that this vow. And then Ananias and Sapphira both, first Ananias and then Sapphira, you know, decided, well, we're just going to tell people we got this amount, which is a whole lot less than what we actually got, and we're going to keep back part of it. Well, that wasn't the rules or the terms of the covenant agreement that was made. And because they were not lying to man about what they had received as payment for the land that they had sold, they were actually lying to God, because he, you know, the Holy Spirit was the witness to the covenant agreement, and he could have easily, these two people could have easily said, no, actually, we only sold it for this much, and we're only willing to give this amount of the sale of our property. But instead, they wanted to lie about what they'd gotten. And that's, you know, and as soon as the words were just right out of his mouth, you know, he fell down dead and the guys carried him off and buried him, you know. I mean, don't lie to the Holy Spirit. And had, you know, his wife, you know, who came in long after he had already been dead and buried, and they asked the wife the same question, you know, did you get this amount for your property that you sold? And she continued the lie, and boom, she's dead too. You know, and some people look at that as God being a harsh or hard-hearted God, and that's really not the case. The case is that Ananias and Sapphira were wanting to look good and make themselves feel, you know, more important in front of men, instead of owning up to the fact that they really didn't want to give all of what they had sold their property to. And you can see that in that conversation between Peter and the couple at the time before they passed, you know, before they are struck down dead. So I wanted to give you this example this week of just how serious covenants are. Even if we make a vow to God, we really need to consider them seriously. And also, when we make a vow, we really need to make sure that we know what the Word of God says on the particular subject. So don't make a vow if you don't know the Word of God. You know, find His promise, and then and when you find a promise in the Bible, you can stand on that verse of Scripture in a covenant agreement with God, and because God is actually then the originator. He says in the Scripture, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. That's a covenant agreement that is God originated. And that leads us into the third dimension of covenant agreements, which are God with man. And they are purely God originated and man accepted. The last dimension of covenant agreements draws us to the final and ultimate covenant agreement that God made with man. And the purpose of understanding the previous dimensions of covenant agreements brings us a clearer understanding to the ultimate dimension, the ultimate and third dimension of covenant agreements that God had made, had planned all along. Had we not been given the previous examples of these, of the other three covenant dimensions, I don't believe we would have fully understood or could grasp the importance to this final and third dimension of a covenant agreement. Nor would we understand the complexities of God's reasoning for providing his only begotten son, Jesus, as he did. You know, almost everyone has heard the scripture in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, however, how many of us realize that this is actually a covenant agreement that God was making with humankind? This is exactly why we need to fully grasp and understand covenant agreements and to rest in the assurance that God has bound himself into the covenant agreement with each of us by offering his sons and his son's blood as the sealing or binding force to that agreement. Through that precious blood of Jesus, we enter into a blood sworn covenant with God. And some other scriptures that we can see the meticulous and powerful work that Jesus provided for us on his cross and through his resurrection 3 days later. Jesus was the central part to the covenant, and without his sacrifice, there would have been no covenant agreement. We find this in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, who sit in darkness from the prison house. Jesus is the facilitator of the covenant between God and man in this ultimate covenant agreement. And you can find that, I'm going to let you read it on your own, out of Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 9, and Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verses 12, 14, and 15. We see that Jesus provided the best and better covenant between God and man, and it's founded upon better promises. As we examined the previous covenants that God made with man in the Old Testament, they were and still are all pointing to the new and better covenant that Jesus provided for each of us. Understanding and examining the old covenant agreements shed a brighter light of the strength and promises of the new covenant. Furthermore, as we've seen where the covenant agreements between God and man in the old covenant was also renewed with each generation, and I didn't go into specific details about that, but you can see where the covenant agreement that God had with Abraham, he made that same covenant again with down through his son Isaac, and then God made that same covenant agreement. If you'll follow the storyline, he reinstates that covenant agreement with Jacob, and it goes on down the line. You know, he made the covenant agreement with David, and it extended down into Solomon. And so forth. And that's why we're given all the examples that we're given of the three dimensions. And Jesus was the final renewal of that covenant agreement that God had originally had with the fathers of faith throughout the Old Testament of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis chapter 17, we see that covenant agreement that God made with Abraham. That's what I was telling you about just a moment ago. And you can find the rest of the story in Genesis chapter 26. And then again in First Chronicles chapter 16. And then some other references are 2 Samuel chapter 23 and Psalms 89. God was making the point, like we many times do with will do with our own natural children, by telling them and then telling them and then telling them again, so that finally they might get it, that he was making an unbreakable covenant agreement. Jesus is the final and ultimate dimension of that covenant agreement. And I'd like for you to read Luke chapter 1, verses 72 through 75, and Acts chapter 3, verses 24 through 26, to better understand and fully express this with your understanding of your Christian faith. So as you can see, covenant agreements are the one key that will unlock the scriptures to you in a whole new way, and really help solidify your Christian understanding, the understanding of your Christian life and what it means to really accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and that binding covenant agreement with God. And as you use this key of covenant throughout your reading of the scriptures, you begin to see another dimension of the scriptures that you might not have otherwise seen had you not understood covenant agreements. And that there are in fact three dimensions of covenant agreements. And those dimensions, again, are: the first dimension is man with man. And the second dimension is God with man. And then the third and ultimate dimension is God with man, where God was the originator of the covenant agreement, and that he originates every word, every verse of scripture throughout the Bible is a covenant agreement. You can stand on it as a God-originated covenant agreement. Like in Isaiah chapter 53, and allow me to quote that verse of scripture fully for you for this broadcast. Isaiah chapter 53, "Who has believed, trusted in, relied upon, and clung to our message of that which was revealed to us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been disclosed? For the servant of God grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form of form or comeliness, royal or kingly pomp, that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains, and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses, and carried our sorrows and pain of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has made to light upon him the guilt and the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he was submissive and opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the hand of the land of the living, stricken to his death for the transgressions of Isaiah's people, to whom the stroke was due? And they assigned him a grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief and made him sick. When you and he make his life an offering for sin, and he has risen from the dead in time to come, he shall see his spiritual offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will and pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others, shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, justify many and make many righteous, upright, and in right standing with God, for he shall bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences, says the Lord. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great kings and rulers, and he shall divide the spoil with the mighty, because he has poured out his life unto death, and he let himself be regarded as a criminal and be numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore and took away the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors, the rebellious. You know, this one chapter in the Bible speaks to covenant, and that's why I wanted to read the entire chapter of Isaiah 53 out loud to you, because that's why I can believe in healing for myself and for others, is because he's already provided the healing that I need. I just have to accept and walk into that covenant agreement with him that he made the sacrifice for all my sicknesses, all my weaknesses, all the diseases that can come upon me. And that's, I believe, is the reason why we don't see a lot of times as many of the miracles that we read about in the Bible, is because we don't understand the concept of covenant agreement, and we don't truly understand the true nature of what God did by providing his only begotten son on that cross that day as the facilitator, as the sign and the seal of that blood covenant that God was making for each of us. And as you continue to read through the scriptures and find the different scriptures that are important to you, go back and look at them with the eye or the light of covenant agreement, and you'll begin to see that these scriptures will open up to you in a whole new dynamic way and dramatic way that you've never seen, because now you have been given the one key, the one all-access key to unlocking your understanding of the scriptures and why they're so sure and so positive and giving a positive message. and not one of gloom and doom. I've kind of ended this program on a serious note because I think it's just that important that we understand covenant and covenant agreements and understand that there are dimensions to covenant agreements that God was trying to give us as examples leading up to the ultimate and final and third dimension of covenant, which was and is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our best friend. I thank you for joining me, and I look forward to joining you next week on our broadcast. God bless you, and enjoy your full access passkey of covenant.